1 Peter chapter number 1. Good to hear from Brother Stephen. Had a good service this morning. I miss him when he's not here. Miss all of our folks when they're gone for whatever reason. It's good to see you back in the house of the Lord. Grateful to hear that Brother Odell is doing better. It was touch and go for a while, and it still is, but at least he's trending upward. And I'm so glad to see Sister Meyer back with us tonight, Brother Thomas. And, I want you to, before we read the scripture, I just want you to keep Brother Jimmy in your prayers and that family. I can only imagine the heart of a father losing his daughter. You don't get over that in a day or two. People forget and people move on. But keep this dear brother and his family in your prayers. It's a hard, he doesn't say much. And there's times you'll see him smile, but I promise you that heartache is overwhelming in his heart even now. I can't imagine. The Lord just led me, touched my heart about having his church family pray for him and Miss Connie and that family. And I hope you'll be faithful to keep them in your prayers. There's nothing like having last second changes. Thought I was settled on what I was going to preach. I got up, went in my study about 4 o'clock this afternoon to put a few finishing embellishments on notes, as preachers are always wont to do. And opened my Bible, didn't open it to where I was going to open it and preach from. I opened it to where to our text tonight, and I just started reading, and it's like the Lord spoke to me and said, magnify the blood. Lord, it's a Sunday night service. Not likely to anybody be there lost. Not likely for that's our faithful people, is the ones who come back in the evening, and magnify the blood. So we're going to try to do that for just a few minutes. I've done indirectly received marching orders from a dear lady in our church. I don't think she knew I was the one. I told her, she was talking about had a scheduled things to do and all, and time and all of that. And I said, well, I understand there's a preacher. He's going to have a preacher preach. And I think he preaches about an hour long. And she said, well, we can't have that. And it's a straightforward. I said, well, I talked to him, sister. I'll try to sway him a little bit. But I feel like we can accomplish what we the Lord have us to do here in a timely fashion, and magnify the blood of Jesus Christ. In verse number 18, chapter 1 of 1 Peter, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Father, I pray you'll help us. Forgive me, Lord, of every sin, every spot and stain. Oh, God, you know how I fail you. Lord, you know this old flesh, how desperately wicked the heart is. And I beg you, Lord, to cleanse us afresh and anew. Lord, have your will and way in this service. Lord, for everything that'll be done afterward. Lord, for the food, everything that you've allowed us to prepare and partake of tonight. God, I pray we'll honor and glorify you, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an old hymn that goes something like this. Dear Jesus, all my sins forgave and washed and made me whole. I have sweet peace and joy within. His blood is on my soul. One may not know very much Bible and still go to heaven. One may not ever win a single soul to the Lord Jesus and still make it in. One may never teach or expound or preach or go to foreign fields and tell others about the Lord Jesus and still make it to heaven. But I would say tonight, if one does all of this, and yea, even more, and he bypasses that blood, he is never going to see the kingdom of heaven. After all, it's all about the blood, the title of my message tonight. It's all about the blood. God is still looking in 2022 for the soul that the doorpost and the lintel of that heart is stricken with the blood of his precious, spotless, blood-filled lamb. And we're wanting to magnify tonight that blood tonight, just in a couple of points. Usually I kick up three in a cloud of dust. But the Lord gave me a couple of things to say this afternoon on it's all about the blood. Notice the power of the blood. I would say the most powerful force generated by mankind, thermonuclear devices, the hydrogen bomb, can't hold a candle. It is though it's a little cap pistol beside the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who have experienced that crimson flow, those of you who have felt the coursing of the power of God through that wicked sinner heart propagated by the blood of Jesus, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Nothing like the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The most powerful force of nature has nothing compared to the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I stood on the banks of the Niagara River, but just scant feet away from the rushing of that falls as it rushed over the Niagara Falls. And I marveled at the power and at the massiveness of that natural wonder. And yet in thinking on the blood of Jesus Christ, that is like a little trickle out of a faucet that won't shut off compared to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The most powerful forces devised by man or nature cannot compare to that blood. I'm glad this power of this blood, first of all, has power to redeem. Preacher, elementary, Christianity 101, I would agree, but you ought to be amazed and surprised at the people who are bypassing the blood, going the circuitous route, trying to find, as a thief and a robber, some other way to climb into the portals of glory rather than go through that Clemson flow. Having predestinated us, Paul said in Ephesians 1 verse 5, unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, to whom we have redemption through the blood. Hallelujah. In spite of all the modern theologians and all of the modern New Age Bible and the modern religion, it's still the blood that'll get the job done. Hallelujah this evening, the power of the blood, power to redeem. First of all, redeem us from the constraint of sin. You understand that if you're lost in this place tonight, you're a prisoner under the watchful eye of the devil. You're in the prison house of sin. You're in a place you can't help yourself. You're in a place that you'll never get out of. You are confined as though you were on death row somewhere. You are never getting out of that prison house save through the blood. The constraint of sin. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual. Now listen to this. But I am carnal, sold under sin. You've been sold at the moment of birth, sold into the prison house of sin. And there, if you're lost tonight, there you still reside in that Alcatraz of iniquity, that sing-sing of the devil's devices, that fulsome prison, that prison house of sin. What can get you out of there? What is the key that unlocks the door but the blood of Jesus Christ? It has power to redeem from the constraint of sin. Quickly, we'll move on. It has power to redeem from the conviction of God's law. You have been found guilty. As old Belshazzar in chapter 5 of the book of Daniel has been weighed in God's balances. And the Bible says we've been found wanting apart from the blood. I cannot think of a more terrifying thing than to come before a righteous, holy God. One who's we can't begin to imagine God in His power and His omnipotence. And stand before God without that filter of the Lord Jesus Christ's blood. God sees us for who we are and what we are, and we're standing totally alone, totally naked, totally condemned. I thought about that parable over in Matthew where they bid many to come to the wedding feast, and many came. The good man of the house walks in, and the Bible says that he spots somebody there without a wedding garment. Oh, my friend, it does you well to think about what are you clothed with tonight. What is the clothing that you hope to stand one day before a thrice holy God and have Him accept you into His heaven? I thought about that, and I've thought about that. How do men, what will they answer? And the real answer to that question is they'll answer nothing. They'll stand there with their head down. They'll stand there condemned. They'll stand there ashamed, and they won't have an answer for when God pronounces judgment upon them. There'll be no arguments. There'll be no appeals. There'll be no reprieve in that day. Power of blood to redeem. I'm glad also the power of the blood is that it has the ability to restore. My, if we were all Peters and we all denied Christ and we all fell and ran afoul of God's grace and Jesus Christ's holiness and we were left there to ourselves, how terrible our plight would be, how miserable the remainder of our existence on this earth would be. But I'm glad the blood has power to restore. The psalmist in Psalm 51, this being the psalm that he wrote after his adulterous affair and his murderous scheme to kill Uriah, you find him saying, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." I've heard preachers misquote that. It's possible I've misquoted it. He didn't say, "Restore the joy of my salvation." But he says unto God, and he cries out to God, "Restore the joy of thy salvation." It was blood that took that joy. It was the blood of a godly man, an innocent man that took that joy. And it was the blood of an innocent man that restored that joy. Hallelujah. It'll repair our relationship to God. Isaiah 59 verse 2. You say, "Preacher, why do preachers preach on sin?" Well, if he's a preacher, he'll preach on sin. I'm convinced we've got a lot of speakers. We've got a lot of ministers ministering what, I don't know. But the real preacher of the Word of God will preach aloud, cry aloud, and spare not concerning the sin of God's people. Because of Isaiah 59, 2, where the Bible said, God himself says, "But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Aren't you so tired of this fake faith running abroad in the land? This pseudo-Christianity that is on the lips of every singer, every actor, every sports hero. They'll do this up to heaven when they score a touchdown and hit the nudie bars right after the game's over. Hit the honky-tonks of this world. Go for their drugs and their alcohol. It's all a sham. It's all a joke to them, but the blood of Christ is no joke. Sin is still sin. And even in the life of the believer, sin is horrible and it's still sin. It's especially reprehensible in the life of one who's been regenerated and delivered from the prison house of sin to go back to the vomit and to return to the sin of this world. But the blood still has power to restore. Hallelujah. If it didn't, I wouldn't be here tonight. I'd be probably in a grave somewhere, but I promise you, if the blood of Christ could not forgive and restore, I wouldn't be behind this sacred desk tonight. It'll repair our relationship to God. It'll renew our attitude with each other. You find God's people, professing God's people that can't get along. You find contention and disunity in the house of God. You'll find an absence of the blood there. The people that's under the blood, living by the blood, immersed in the blood, they don't have the ability to have this contentious spirit and this hateful attitude and this wicked spirit of disunity about them. God's people that are under the blood, they are right with each other and right with the Lord. It'll renew our attitude to each other, repair our relationship to God. And I want to say, thirdly, it'll reestablish your joy. My, my, don't we need some joy in this country today? Don't we need joy in our churches? I'm grateful for Morningstar Baptist Churches. I go to other churches as I've been in churches many times. I'm mindful of how special it is in this church. It boggles my imagination how people get dissatisfied and disgruntled. Next thing you know, they're going here, they're going yon. They don't have the courtesy. They don't even have the brotherly compassion and love to tell anybody they've got an issue or they've got a problem. They just take off and go. I better not go down that rabbit trail. I'll say this. If you're in a place where you're getting fed, God's moving in your heart, that's a special place. You won't find that just anywhere. You take off, if you will. You come up with the Xeroxed, standardized answer to anybody. Well, it was God's will. And you ain't been in church in 6 months, but they know the will of God. Don't feed me that. You go tell that to somebody else who's only been saved a week or two. I don't buy into that. And you can tell them I said so. Grieves me the way the people treat the church, the way people treat this church. It grieves me. Say, "Preacher, is it, you know, once you're a member, are you not ever allowed to leave?" God's will takes you, go, and God bless you. But so many people It's amazing how God's will coincides with their disgruntlement and their disaffection with this church. Now, I don't even know why I'm saying all that, because I didn't have it in my thought process or knowledge. I have no problem with people leaving Morningstar Baptist Church or any other church when God's leading them. I've left here myself, God leading me somewhere. Better be sure who's doing the driving when you get in that vehicle and roll out of this parking lot. You better be sure who's driving the vehicle. That's all I will say. I praise God for our faithful people. I praise God for those who love this church, love the pastor, love the church, pastor's family, want to be in this church. Get in the harness, that 10% club, that 10% that's always there. You can count on them. You can ask of anything and they'll do it. Praise God for people like that. Has one common fuel in every heart that does that, and that's the joy of the Lord in them. No, it ain't always pleasant. It ain't always fun to do some things around here. It's not always the uplifting highlight of my day to do something, I'm sure, for the pastor. But the joy of the Lord makes it a joy to do. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. They had just endured people of Judah had just endured a long, torturous reign of this man Ahaz. You read about Ahaz, he's a wicked, ungodly, uncircumcised professor that knows God, but he was a wicked king. They are in a revival. Bible says in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 16, Ahaz is off the scene. The Bible says they stood, the people stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God, the priests, sprinkled the blood. That is what will make the difference in any service, any church, any gathering of the believers is the inclusion of the blood. You read on down in verse 20 of that same chapter, verse 20 of chapter 30, 2 Chronicles. All the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel, the strangers that came out of the land of Israel and that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. Talking about that joy. They rejoiced. There was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. God's joy will change and fix a lot of problems. It'll fix a lot of problems. I want to say secondly and lastly tonight, there's not only the power of the blood, notice the preciousness of the blood. Oh, preacher, I've been saved many years. You're preaching to the choir, but isn't it good to be reminded just how precious that flow is? The preciousness of the blood. That very word precious has the connotation of one of a kind. There are things in my life. He joked about my getting me a suit. That's just a slick, he's crafty. He's an educated man. And he's good at sliding an insult to you without, thinking he's doing you a favor. He basically sitting over there seeing me wearing 30-year-old suits. And all that talk about me having everything, I do have everything. Everything God wants me to have and all the blessings thereof. I praise Him for all that He's given. I've had people pull up in the yard delivering packages. I say, boy, you got a pretty place here. I said, the Lord has been good to me. I serve the Lord, and He's been good to me and my wife. Hallelujah for that. Precious has the connotation of one of a kind. My wife is precious to me. There's not another. There's not an alternative. There's not a reasonable facsimile somewhere. She's precious to me because she's one of a kind. Boy, is she one of a kind. Compliment, honey. She says, I'll never, ever leave her. And she's right. But she doesn't say that as a profession of my love for her. She says it because she knows I rarely get rid of anything. Brother Ned, I've got... Seriously, folks, I've got buckets of bolts from 40 years ago. My house sits on a beam that I brought home for a construction job back in the 80s. I pulled it out of the woods, sanded the rust off, painted it, and saved several $1,000s when I brought that beam up there for that contractor to use to set that house on. He said, my goodness, where did you get such a beam? I don't throw nothing away. Aren't you glad? Some of you men are the same way. Some of you women are the same way. You know, they got shows about these people that's got trouble with that, hoarders and so on. I'm not a hoarder. I've got a use for everything I'm saving. Amen. It's precious. The blood is precious. The blood is precious, let me say, because of three things, and we'll be done. The blood is precious, first of all, because of its pedigree. Its pedigree, not just any blood will do. Even in the Old Testament, even in the days of sacrifice of animals, the blood had to be from a specific animal. It had to be from a special animal. It could not just be any goat in the flock. It could not be just any lamb that wandered in off the range and into the sheepfold. It had to be God's special offering. It had to be a special blemish, without spot. And the blood is special. It's precious because of its pedigree. My little grandson, he's been learning, he could say John 3:16, I think, since he could talk. But he's been learning on Wednesday night the actual meaning of John 3:16. And I've heard my wife quizzing him the other day, well, what does John 3:16 mean? And he began talking about John 3:16. And he's got a wonderful knowledge of the rudiments of salvation. I'm waiting for God to bring that conviction, and the Lord's going to save that little boy, just like he's going to save your boys. And all you parents with little children, keep them in the house of God. Teach them about the Word of God, and God's going to save your children one day after a while. But he told her the answers she was looking for, and I said, but notice that little word, so, Jack. For God so loved the world. And he couldn't quite grasp the concept, and I tried to get it as simple and as elementary for his little mind as I could. And I said simply that God loved this world to the place that he was willing to do what nobody else would ever do. I would not even think about offering my only child to save somebody. You would be headed to the gallows, and the president says, if you'll put your child in their place, I'll pardon them. I couldn't do it. I freely admit that. Trouble is, some people won't admit it. I admit it. It's not within me to give my child for some other murderer and rapist or some vile person, but that's exactly what God did. The Bible says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The pedigree of that blood, not just any blood will do, but it is that special blood, that one-of-a-kind blood, that precious blood that God was looking for. I'm moving quickly. Notice secondly on this preciousness, this prodigality. Well, that's just a $10 word that means its size. Prodigality coming from the word prodigious. Prodigious meaning huge, large, massive, out of bounds with its size. Webster's calls it like this. Prodigious means wonderful, amazing, of great size, power, extent, etc. Enormous. Huge, the prodigiousness, the prodigality of the blood of Christ. I'm glad though there's millions have come, there's still room for one at the cross. At the cross, at the cross. The prodigality of the blood of Jesus Christ. I think one of the things that'll haunt men and women throughout eternity is there was enough blood for even them. The greatest pornographer, the greatest, there's not a save against the Holy Ghost. There's not a sin that that blood will not cover. Hallelujah for that. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he said, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and he said this, of whom I am chief. Paul must have been a pretty bad fellow before the Lord saved him. We understand and know some of the things that he did, how he persecuted the church of the living God. But he must have been a really bad fellow for him to ascribe to himself the chiefest of all sinners. The blood was capable. The blood was in profusion. The blood was enough for the Apostle Paul. Countless drunkards, addicts, homosexuals, pedophiles, rapists, cursers, liars, adulterers, pornographers, harlots, whoremongers, atheists, agnostics, Satanists, unbelieving Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Catholics, Mormons, etc. have found that crimson flow to be sufficient. Hallelujah, folks. Hallelujah. The blood is precious because of its pedigree and prodigality, but lastly, because of its purity. God told Moses, said, get the people of Israel together and seek out that unblemished lamb. Set him aside for 7 days. You set that lamb to itself, separate it, segregate it, sanctify it, if you will. That precious lamb, as far as humanly possible, was perfect and was pure before God. And he accepted the blood. The Bible says when the death angel come through Egypt on that fateful night, he saw the blood on the lintel. He saw the blood down the doorpost. And the death angel, the destroyer, passed that house by because of the pureness of that blood. 1 Peter 1:19 in our text, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. There is a possibility that that lamb that that Israelite slew on that night in Egypt years ago might have had a little tiny speck on his liver, could have had a little deformation in his heart. There could have been somewhere, somehow in that lamb that it was just, it's about impossible for that lamb to be perfect and pure. This lamb was perfect and pure. The devil searched him, the devil tried him, the devil tempted him, and he never found one blemish, one little area where he could attack the purity of the blood of that offering. Pilate washed his hands, looked across that assembly before him and said, "Take him, crucify him. I find no fault in him." The purity of the blood of Jesus Christ. This purity purifies the believer. 1 John 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is." Now listen to this. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." I'm grateful tonight. I'm not perfect, but in Christ's blood I stand before God pure tonight. God sees me as he sees his son. I can't comprehend that, knowing how fallible this flesh is, knowing how wicked, how vile, how desperately evil this heart is. I stand before God pure through the blood of that son. I'm so glad there's a fountain filled with blood. I have told my wife, she don't like to talk about it. I told my wife, I said, "One day I'm going to leave this world. Don't get up there and don't play tapes of some country singer singing a song. Don't play some kind of contemporary gospel." I said, "Get the congregation up and have them sing, 'There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain.'" Father, I pray that if there's one here who has not experienced, never known that precious, pure blood of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, ere they leave these grounds, they'll seek us out. They will find a place of repentance. Lord, we can take the word of God and show them what they need to know to be saved. We'll praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.